For the Athletic Podcast Network, this is The Update. I'm Adam Copeland. On today's show, we'll talk to Anthony Slater, who covers the Warriors for The Athletic, about the questions facing the Golden State Warriors this offseason. Is James Wiseman going to stick around? How healthy will Klay Thompson be upon his return? And should they use their draft capital to potentially end up with a superstar out of the draft or trade with somebody and try to add a supporting cast member or a superstar on the trade market? All things we can talk about with Anthony Slater, who joins me next. Today is Wednesday, May 26th. Nice little wrap-up here with Anthony Slater, who, of course, covers the Warriors and the NBA for The Athletic. Anthony, we had you on just a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about getting to the end of the season here. Did it end as expected, you think? Because I was out there Friday night, and they look sluggish, they look slow, they look tired, and I think that can be expected based on using eight guys for, like, the last month of a season. So your thoughts on how the season came down to the end, and was it as expected?
Not completely as expected. I believe I was on this podcast, like you said, a week or two ago, and we were talking like Jazz Suns, what's the better first round matchup? And I think I even said something like, after we talked about all the optimism, like, it's possible their season's over in like 5 days. And it was. I thought they were going to lose in the first round. I thought the fatigue was going to show up in the mountains of Utah or in the, you know, desert against a deep team like Phoenix or the Jazz, but it did after a heartbreaker against LA. And, you know, a few non-turnovers here and there, a few less mistakes against the Lakers, and they're playing Phoenix in the 2-7 on the softer side of the West bracket. Instead, Memphis kind of slays them in overtime, by the way. Two Grayson Allen threes in overtime, Xavier Tillman. I mean, we don't need to get into the details of it, but there were some unlucky aspects of their play-in elimination. But at the end of the day, what you're saying is correct. They were too thin to make a run this season. It just ended about 10 days before I expected it to.
And I think your column after that game reflected that. I think you said, yeah, I mean, in reality, it ended maybe 10 days before it otherwise would have, had they gotten into the first round and maybe had to face a Utah or a Phoenix Suns team. But I'm looking at the offseason now, and it seems like it's maybe as tumultuous. There are as many question marks heading into this offseason now as there were last offseason. Were you a little bit surprised at how quickly the focus turned to James Wiseman as soon as the offseason started?
Not really, because I felt like it had been put off for a while, right? It was just Wiseman mania for months and months and months, and then the injury, and it was like, all right, well, let's just focus on like normal basketball for, you know, a few weeks, and that was like, okay, basketball's over, Wiseman. I think there's more questions this summer than last summer. Last summer, it was like, what are you going to do with your top pick? And it ended up being James Wiseman, but, you know, there was less questions about every layer of the roster and the need to maximize, you know, your minimum signings, your mid-level signings, finding the correct veterans. Do you trade this like young prospect who it could come back to burn you? To me, like, the pressure is just on. Last offseason, we didn't even know Klay was injured till day of the draft. So there's a lot of question marks. And I mean, if you want to dive deeper into Wiseman as one, that's fine. But yeah, he's definitely, like, I would say top among them.
Bob Myers and Steve Kerr were asked about him in the postseason press conference. You were on that call, on that Zoom call, or asking questions to these guys. And my understanding when they drafted Wiseman, and I took Bob Myers at you know, face value for him saying this was the best win-now option for them. They didn't have an asset like this, a seven-footer with this type of athleticism that could run the floor and maybe run alongside Steph Curry. And, of course, this is all in conjunction building up to the draft days you're talking about with finding out that Klay Thompson is hurt. Do you think that estimation, the thought that he could be a step on the floor and immediately be an impact player, was maybe overstated a bit? Because in the postseason press conference, Bob Myers and Steve Kerr are both going, yeah, well, it was a rocky rookie season and he didn't get mini camp or training camp and didn't get the summer league. And he's a couple of years away from being able to really, really help us. And I'm thinking, well, then maybe he wasn't necessarily the right pick at number two. What's your thoughts about their comments after the season?
He wasn't as ready as they thought he was going to be. Those excuses that they made are correct. I mean, he got coronavirus right before camp and missed all of preseason and training camp. And like in the NBA, the most vital practices in an entire season are the first seven. When you're installing everything, you know, guys are going hard, you're scrimmaging full throttle. Like once you get into the season, particularly veterans, they don't practice. They're playing every other night. So like for a rookie who didn't get summer league, like none of the rookies did, to miss that was a setback. He started to play well and he gets the wrist injury. He started to kind of play well again and he gets the knee injury. Even regardless of him as a player, like it could have gone smoother if he just didn't kind of have bad breaks along the way. But also, you know, you look at LaMelo Ball and you go, yeah, in retrospect, he would have been the better win now option. He would have stepped in and been more conducive to their small ball style while also being a long-term potential superstar. I think Wiseman still has big, big time potential long-term, but he's not as ready as LaMelo. But the reality is, I mean, we can debate it. At the time, I thought Wiseman was a better pick. And a lot of that is because I miscalculated what Ball was going to be, because most people did. I mean, like, did you see this LaMelo Ball coming as a rookie?
No, doing stuff that only LeBron has done? No.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. And if you didn't see that necessarily with LaMelo, like, it was a big drop-off from a prospect level after three. And if you were picking two in that draft, you kind of either had to trade it, and some people say they should have traded it. It was, you know, I'm not sure they would have got much of the correct value for trading a number two pick. They opted to go with Wiseman, and they sound very committed to Wiseman. I know you said that they're set, like, this idea that he might not help them for another two, three seasons, and maybe that is the correct way on the outside looking in to view it. But, I mean, they said today they think he can help next season. They're going to have to generate, like, better environment for him. Maybe you're second uniting him the entire time. You're separating a lot of his minutes from Curry and Draymond. You're maybe having to work with Jordan Poole in the top of that second and fourth, running a bunch of high pick and rolls. And maybe he's only playing 18, 20 minutes, which is not what you want out of your second overall pick in his second season. But I think there's still a belief that just his tool set, that if you're a good coach, you should be able to turn that into somewhat of a helping component, at least in the regular season.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. So I guess the bigger question then is how they use the assets they have. And maybe he is one of those assets if they decide they can get value for him or there's somebody else out there they want. But I'm looking at the top three protected pick from Minnesota and now at their lottery pick. And I guess they don't know exactly where it's going to be, but they've got a loose idea just based on how things are going to shake out here. I think it's 98%. They end up with 14 or something like that, right?
97.6 if you want the exact.
Okay. I'm going to round it up. I'm going to go 98%.
They're going to have 14. And they're probably going to have somewhere around 7 or 8, I think, is the most likelihood. But that one's obviously very much fluctuates. There's a 27% chance they don't even get the Minnesota pick. It's top three. There's, I think, a 9% chance they get 4 or 5. You know, the pick that would be the home run. You got, you know, talk about a good asset. But let's assume they get somewhere around 6, 7, and 14. You know, the thought is, can you take 14 and 7? Can you move up in the draft into the top five? Okay, maybe not. Do you trade one of them and maybe go get a role player? You know, you give a team 14, give us your seventh man. Boston, here, Marcus Smart for the 8th overall pick. Whatever you want to say. I think that's on the table. I think package them both together with Wiseman and, you know, do you go try to go after a Pascal Siakam? Does Ben Simmons become available because Philly flames out? You know, these are things we don't know. And these are things they don't know. They can't sit there today and, like, say, we know exactly how our offseason is going to go. We're just not going to tell the media. They don't know any, like, what options are going to materialize. But you get the sense from them that they have decided they're not just committed to trading James Wiseman. He has to be traded, and we have to get some type of veteran win now help for him. I think he is only traded if it's like a can't-miss deal.
So I guess another part of this is the evaluation of how great you think Klay Thompson can be upon return. How much help do you need to put alongside him and Draymond and Steph Curry and maybe James Wiseman? And what are your thoughts just based on what was said? I mean, they said they're not sure he'll be back game one or opening night, and I think that's a fine expectation. But how much realistically can you expect, and how much more help do they need on the roster to sort of supplant that, at least as Klay starts to get going to start next year?
You know, I think it'll be about 11 months post-Achilles when next season starts. So he's, you know, they sound skeptical he will be there opening night. But I think the Warriors need to operate with the expectation that Klay Thompson will at least get to 80% of what he used to be by February, March, April, particularly by the playoffs. Because if Klay Thompson doesn't get back to 80%, if he can't play 32 good minutes where he's stretching the floor and he's playing solid defense, even if he's not, you know, like I said, not 100% version, but if he's at least 80, okay, you know, I think they got something there. If he's not, I'm not sure there's an answer out there. You know what I mean? Like, they've paid 90-something million to this guy now over his first three seasons of this max deal. They can't not get Klay Thompson. If they don't, they're just not a title contender, and they don't have, I don't think there's a solve to that. They just need Klay Thompson back, and they need to hope he is back. And to me, build the roster like you're going to have at least a good version of him.
And that's what Bob Meyer said. He's like, if I got these three guys out there and they're healthy and they can stay on the court, then you'll put them up against almost anybody. Just sort of a fun one looking back at the draft from last year on the way out. You think if they had LaMelo Ball, you think if he's here and he goes through the same injury, he has the same season that he had without James Wiseman, you think they're higher than a 7? You think they avoid that play-in tournament?
Maybe, probably. You know, LaMelo did some winning stuff for Charlotte. He got Charlotte in the play-in, or at least helped get Charlotte in the play-in. Although, man, they got smoked in the play-in. And he didn't look good coming back from the wrist injury. But before that, yeah. And, you know, it would have fit the style better, right? I mean, passer, ball mover, plays in the smaller units. Yeah, probably. I mean, and that's something we will discuss for years to come, I'm sure. But at this point, they can't offer Wiseman for a ball straight up to Charlotte. I don't think Charlotte's saying yes on that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't if I were Charlotte. So, hey, man, a lot of questions, not very many answers yet. We'll catch up with you again closer to draft time, Anthony. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, thanks for having me.
We tried to tackle some of the questions the Warriors have or that they'll be facing this offseason. And as Anthony said, maybe more this offseason than they had last offseason. Didn't even have a chance to get into Kelly Oubre Jr., who Steve Kerr said, look, Klay Thompson comes back, he's going to start. If Kelly Oubre Jr. wants to be here, you're going to have to talk to him about potentially coming off the bench. And that remains to be something that he has showed any interest in. So all storylines we'll cover this offseason, and we'll keep you updated here on The Update. Thank you to Anthony, thank you to Brian, and thank you to you, the listener. If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever it is you're listening. We'll keep coming with the best stories in Bay Area sports. Around the corner, we've got a hit on some of this Julio Jones rumors as far as whether or not the San Francisco 49ers have enough of their own draft capital to potentially go after the star wide receiver from Atlanta. We can also talk about the Giants and the Dodgers this weekend. Plenty coming up as we head into the summer months of the Major League season. Everybody enjoy the week. We'll talk to you Friday.